Okay, Robert, so a lot of our viewers at home have been complaining bitterly about the timer.
The hamburger?
It always cuts off.
Timer sucks!
And so we hate it too. And actually, it broke last week. So I think it's time to officially put it to rest. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Watch out. Here we go.
My God.
Okay, that felt really good.
So.
Woo! I'm deaf. On the new Pink Pig.
The Pink Pig.
Wind us up. Give us 10 minutes. So we announced a PDC contest a while ago, remember? Take a picture of your favorite PDC piece of memorabilia. And Janine Harsh, who was on a couple weeks ago, she gave us her favorite picks for the East Side. And she found some really cool things that people were posting. So one picture was, she did a couple honorable mentions before we get to the winner, was some vintage PDC wallpaper from PDC 03 and PDC 05. You might remember those ribbons, kind of like a developer and silhouette looking up. I remember those ribbons very a lot because, was it string theory? What was it supposed to mean? We had all this debate about the ribbons. So that was really cool. Thanks for posting that. That was Nitin Agarwal. I hope I'm saying that right, and probably not. Another runner-up was Emmanuel Huna, who submitted a picture of his PDC 05 badge that he got Bill G to sign, Bill Gates. He chased after him at the Los Angeles Convention Center and got him to sign it. That's really cool. But the winner is Ian Walker from the UK. So he went to the PDC in 2000. And I think it was in Orlando, it was in Florida.
Yeah.
And we outside the convention center, we had these huge letters and numbers, PDC 2000. So he sent a picture of us actually setting up the numbers and the signs and stuff. It was really cool.
Nice, nice. You should have grabbed him, though.
We should have. Yeah, so, yeah. Ian, congratulations. Email me, jritz, J-R-I-T-Z, at Microsoft.com to get your special limited edition PDC shirt.
Of course, I remember there was some preparation artwork for some of those PDCs that never quite made it to final.
Oh, yes, they're in my office.
That's
maybe
right.
I should bring them next week. Good point. So you are here today to continue on with our staff picks, talking about great Seattle finds. And, you know, Robert's been on our show before. I think everyone knows he's kind of a world-famous mixologist, and he's written a bartending book about cocktails. And so I bet you have some really good surprises to tell us about for Seattle.
I do. I do. I mean, cuisine of all sorts gets me excited, and cuisines of cocktails or wine or food. And so I like to take and help people understand where they can get good cuisine, especially if there's some good cocktails involved. Mm-hmm. And so I find that when I go into bars, quite often I'll get a great cocktail just because the bartender knows me and he'll make sure he's on his best behavior. But I want to take and try to find those bars where you go to and you get a good cocktail even if I'm not with you. So I know that I can send someone to.
Because you're rarely with me.
That's right, right. And so I've got five bars in the Seattle area that have food, usually also have some food as well.
Right on.
So you have great cocktails and great food. First and foremost is the Zigzag Cafe.
Love Zigzag.
They recently were rated the number one cocktail bar in the United States by GQ Magazine.
That's right, so downtown Seattle.
Yeah, that's a great find. And it's a wonderful casual place. I mean, like,
it's
you can go there in jeans and T-shirts and shorts and stuff like that, and they've got really good food as well. And if you go there, make sure it's Tuesday through Friday when Murray's working, and sit at the bar if you can, because that's where the best experience is. But even if you're sitting on the back corner someplace, you'll still get a great cocktail.
Great one.
Now, the second bar I like recommending is Vessel. Now, Vessel's kind of the opposite end of the spectrum from Zigzag. It's a little bit fancier feeling, and, you know, jeans and a T-shirt don't quite cut
That's
it.
Right.
You might want to look better.
It's newer.
Newer.
On Fifth Avenue downtown.
And the cocktail's really good. The food menu is more of an appetizer menu, so it's not a full-on food menu. And then the third one, also in Seattle, is the Canlis Restaurant.
Ooh.
Now, Canlis is probably Seattle's oldest restaurant. It's been around for over 50 years. It's one of those sort of places you take your first date to.
Special occasions.
Yes. Because it's not cheap. And their cocktail program is fabulous. I mean, they've got a wonderful cocktail. You can just go there just for cocktails. And the cool thing about them is if you go and get your car parked by the valet, which is required because there's no real parking lot, when you come out of the restaurant, your car is just waiting for you. It's like, you know, they have some sort of psychic link, and they know when you're coming out. And there's your
Maybe
car
it's technology.
Yeah.
Someone's paying their bill.
Yeah, something like that.
And a beautiful view of Lake Union.
A beautiful, beautiful view. Better than the Space Needle, practically.
Yes.
Then the fourth one is the Sambar restaurant in Ballard.
Oh, I was hoping I could say I've been to all of them, but I haven't.
And then Sambar is actually a really small bar that's attached to Le Gourmand restaurant. And where Ballard has some restaurants in the restaurant area, this is actually outside of the restaurant area, actually amongst some residential houses and stuff like that. It's a really, really good restaurant. And the last one is closer to the PDC. This is over in Bellevue. There's a lot of great restaurants in Bellevue. The cocktail experience in Bellevue, not so hot, but there is one shining example of cocktails, and that's Chantilly Thai.
I was going to say, I knew it.
Yeah, and they have great Thai food if you like Thai food. It's a fancy place. I mean, it's again, you know, maybe jeans and t-shirt aren't quite the right spot for it. It's an upscale, fancy Thai restaurant.
It's not that fancy.
Not that, but
it's not fast food.
Right. It's not your standard Thai restaurant of, you know, plain, you know, floor mica tables and stuff like that. So it's fancy from that standpoint. They got really, really good cocktails, and it's close by.
It's walkable from Lincoln Square, where we're having the party at Lucky Strikes. So you could actually go there before or after for a quick, really delicious cocktail.
There you go.
I think
that's a fabulous idea. And those are my top five picks of Seattle for great bars, and most of them have good food, too.
Thank you, Robert. So I think our work is done here.
I think it is, too.
I do all the fun stuff. Mike does all the hard stuff. So we're out of here.
Even before the pig goes?
Even before the pig goes.
Okay.
Ready?
Ready?
See ya. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Arthur, yeah, the real show begins now. And by the way, we're going to put more time on this pig if it rings before we're done, because those guys robbed us of some time. Hello, everybody.
And again, we have to compete with beer and wine and
I don't know how
food,
we do it. By the way, I want to put another bonus point on Chantilly Thai. Absolute fantastic place to eat, and it is close, so that's great. Great place to go. So Arthur Yazinski joining us today to talk about local PDC events.
You got it.
I want to start out with, what do we mean when we say local PDC events? Local to Redmond?
No, actually, what we found was that when people saw what we were doing with the online experience with PDC, they wanted to find some way to bring that personal connection to it. Mm-hmm. So we got a lot of people from the field, a lot of customers and partners basically sending us emails saying, how do we put on and host our own gathering? So we put some planning effort back here so it wasn't all random, mm-hmm. and we got a whole bunch of people together to start to, you know, organize and orchestrate what can be a very kind of rich and fun experience for people who can't make it to Redmond, but who can go into their local office or with their local developer user group and actually participate in PDC in ways that, you know, I don't even think we fully know and appreciate
yet. I think you're right. It's exciting stuff. So you've been working on this for what, last 9 months or something like that?
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Just like everything with PDC, right. It's been really, you know, a long time.
I mean, you've pulled this together in a really tight time frame. Right?
Yeah, I think for me it was the ultimate lesson of don't take vacation, because I went away on vacation in August, came back to an inbox full of, hey, guess what, you don't know this, but you're leading this effort to have these local PDCs. And people have been phenomenal in turning it around. I think if people have been following the PDC website, mm-hmm. they've seen these local events starting pop up over the last few weeks.
Yeah, it's /local, is
you
that
got
right?
It.
That's the URL?
Link on the side says local
quite
events.
Quite a few there.
As of last night when I checked, I think we had close to 140 listed.
140.
140.
Wow.
And I can't even do it justice. Like, I brought some visual aids. Like, if you look at things like Denmark and what they're doing alone there, they basically are going to have probably close to 50 to 75 events just there. And these will range in size from 5 people to like 50 or even 100 mm-hmm. people. And around the world, the same thing. So I definitely encourage people to go check it out. The variety of experience is going to be from people that are getting together for a social experience, mm-hmm. maybe like a mixer, build off of Robert's theme there, where they're getting together for a social experience to watch the keynotes. Probably will only be the 2.5-3 hours around the keynote time. Other places are trying to do a little bit more, where they're going to give some of the overviews of the themes mm-hmm. and the tracks mm-hmm. to give some context. Those might be more in the 4 hours. And we've got some that are even going full day and multi-day events.
Wow.
You know, one that strikes me, and I clarified before I came on to make sure I wasn't misstating, is Australia. The folks in Sydney are actually getting together at 3 a.m. their time.
Sydney, you're awesome.
To do a local PDC for 16 hours. They're
going
to go from 3 a.m. to 7 p.m. because there's that kind of vibrant developer community. I think you'll see it when the day of, we'll find ways to get some kind of video footage from some of these locations. Mm-hmm. I think you'll see it coming up in the Twitter feeds over the next few weeks. The interest is just phenomenal. I did the count of trying to do, can I go from A all the way to Z with cities? Uh-huh. So far, I'm missing a Q.
Yep, we need a Q.
And a Y. I think those are the only two. I've got the X's. Thank you, China.
That's good.
But, you know, I think it's just fun to watch. It's almost like that spirit and energy of the developer community is back.
Yeah, and you mentioned it before the show. It's, you know, we're having an event here in Redmond, but really that's just kind of the in-person live audience, so to speak. This is being broadcast to thousands and thousands of people worldwide. So if you couldn't make it to the sold-out event here, you've got 140 as of now, other options. Do I have to register for these?
Yeah, absolutely. Some of them, they already have the registration links up on the mm-hmm. local site. So if you go to microsoftpdc.com/local, mm-hmm. you'll see it. All the events are listed in city order by continent, because we couldn't find any way to organize 140. Yep. But definitely, just click on it. It'll take you to the page. It gives you the information on how to register. Some of them, you know, obviously are using the formal Microsoft Worldwide Events mm-hmm. registration tool. Mm-hmm. Some are very casual. It's a spreadsheet.
And how much does it cost me to go to these?
Most of them are free.
Okay, nothing. Cost me nothing.
Usually, I'll say 99% of them, 90% of them are free. Some of them are trying to give you an experience with food and beverage, and they might be a nominal charge for that. Mm-hmm. But again, most of it, if it's that 4 to 6 hour window, is usually free. Again, but I do want to clarify. Some people are taking and doing full day conferences and multi-day conferences.
Awesome.
So I don't want to kind of downplay those.
Yep.
Definitely check it out. I encourage people to check it out, find out what's going on there. And if there's ever a question, there's a link on the top of the page, PDCLocal@Microsoft.com or Arthur YA. Send me a note. Happy to either put you in touch with the people coordinating those local mm-hmm. events or redirect the question direct to them.
No, it's great. So it's like a kind of a geek sports bar. I can go to my local sports bar. I can sit back. I can watch the keynote or the sessions. And then there's some lively interaction, I'm assuming, right? I'm not just there to watch.
No, definitely not. And one of these things you'll see is that a lot of the field community, whether it's Microsoft proper or mm-hmm. our third parties and our developer user groups, they're actually trying to bring local demos and local stories mm-hmm. to these. So no kind of disrespect, but if you're not talking on the main feed, they might be pulling off and doing a demo of some local phone applications or something on IE9, or anything that they might have built in their local geography, just to show people the richness and vibrancy of their local community, mm-hmm. which is something that, again, we didn't think of when we initially put this plan together. It was mostly around how do we get the streaming, how do we get that interaction.
Yeah.
And now that people are taking it one step further, I think the experience in person in these local geographies is actually going to be a lot better.
Awesome.